Now you will hear the segment again.
Ben Rubin is a microbiologist with the Jackson National Laboratory. He studies the air in indoor environments and the kinds of bacteria that inhabit those spaces. Anna Chen spoke with him about the air we breathe and what makes healthy and unhealthy environments.
You're a big believer in the value of fresh air.
Right. Well, the reason is if you have more fresh air circulating, you encourage more diversity in your body's microbiome. Let me explain what that is. The microbiome is the entire ecosystem of microbes that inhabit your body. All the bacteria, fungi, and other microflora. These microbes have a major effect on your susceptibility to disease. Now, what happens is that environments that lack fresh air become saturated with human-associated bacteria. And this includes pathogens that make people sick. So you don't want the environmental microbiome to look like a human microbiome. In fact, we've shown experimentally that a person's susceptibility to disease is strongly correlated to the diversity of microflora in their body. So, if there's diversity in the environment's microbiome, this promotes diversity in your body's microbiome as well.
So what about people who work in buildings that have windows that don't open? Are these unhealthy environments?
In a word, yes. There's a certain amount of fresh air that comes when we open doors and come in and out. But mostly, we're breathing air that's been circulating around the building. It comes from air vents, and then maybe it goes through an HVAC system or an air conditioning system. And this air gets pumped through vents into each room and sucked back into the system.
But it's filtered, right?
Sure, but whatever isn't filtered out is heavy in human-associated bacteria. It lacks diversity. There's really no substitute for fresh air.
You've done research on this, examining the air in a new hospital in Jackson, Mississippi. What did you find?
Before the hospital opened, there was little of anything. The environment was remarkably clean. But as soon as the doctors and patients moved in, you began to see this dramatic increase in the biodiversity of the bacteria and fungi. And this happened very quickly, within 24 hours. But then you had the effect of the air circulating throughout the building, and very soon you began to see that the human-associated bacteria became dominant. Now, it's important for parts of a hospital to be completely sterile, operating rooms and labs and so forth. But for the areas where patients are recuperating, this really isn't the optimal environment for them.
So how do you improve the microbiome in a place like that?
Open the windows, of course. But surprisingly, therapy dogs also help a lot. They have a very beneficial effect on the microbiome.
Dogs? Really?
Think about it. Dogs are direct channels to the outside. They bring the outdoors in, and this makes the environment look less like a human microbiome and more like a mix between the human and the wild. And this mix, as I've said, is very important for our health.
Number 39. What effect does the body's microbiome have on health? Number 40. What is said to be the healthiest type of indoor environment? Number 41. What happens in buildings that lack fresh air? Number 42. What does Ben Rubin imply about air conditioning systems? Number 43. What did the hospital study demonstrate? Number 44. Why are dogs mentioned? Look at the questions, then listen to the second segment.